outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want. Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
And it's Friday, March 12th.
Happy Friday, Sam. Happy Friday, everybody.
Glad to be in the studio, and I'm happy that it's Friday. Definitely my favorite day.
It is your favorite day.
Yes, because it prepares you for the weekend. You know, it means you have 2 days ahead of you to relax, hopefully.
Your favorite hobby is relaxing.
It is. It is.
So what's on your...
You see, you're getting to know me now.
I know. It's funny.
It's like, leave me alone, let me sit in the sun, and I'm good.
Is that what you love to do?
Yeah.
Just go outside?
Yeah, I mean, I work a lot sitting on the balcony and stuff. I'm more on my balcony than I'm inside the house.
That's cool. Yeah. So what are you going to do this weekend?
Good question. I mean, you see, it's not about what I do. It's about what I don't do.
Oh, that's a good point. I think for a lot of people, you know what I noticed, though, is living in L.A., you know, 9 to 5, people don't have a traditional job here. Some people do, but it's not the norm. It's not normative. So people... We'll go out on the weekdays, or, you know, they'll be having... I used to work the Sidewalk Cafe, and we would actually have our busiest time...
In Venice?
No, in West Hollywood.
Oh, really?
The Hollywood area. Not so West... Kind of West Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And we would actually have, like, huge lunch rushes every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, middle of the day, in the morning, would be we'd have a rush. And it's like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, people are outside with their, you know, their little chihuahua dog.
I know. Nobody works in L.A.
I know. Everybody's doing, like, creative jobs, or they're in some kind of industry that they don't have to be doing the traditional hours.
Yeah, you know. I mean, you go to Starbucks at noon, and it's packed.
Yeah. It's really fun, though. I kind of like that, you know, as opposed to everything so traditional. But it's interesting, because what I noticed being back from in Texas and different states is, you know, where it is a more traditional work environment and people do the 9 to 5, there's this mentality of, like, living for the weekend. Do you remember that song? Everybody's working for the
Lover
weekend.
Boy.
There you go. Lover Boy. Sam knew it.
Yes.
It's interesting, because when I lived there, and then when I was stuck outside of Detroit in a suburb and I was working a regular job, I kept thinking about martinis. I kept thinking key lime martini. And I was like, why the hell do I keep thinking about a key lime martini?
Mm-hmm.
And then it changed to a white chocolate martini. And I kept thinking about these martinis. And I kept going, what? Do I have a drinking problem? Like, why do I keep thinking about these martinis?
Right.
And it was because that was what I was going to do on the weekend, was have this martini. And it was like, that's the only time you have it. And it's on the weekend. And you work so hard during the week. And it is this mentality of, like, I just got to get through the week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to live like that.
Yeah.
I don't like
living
like that.
So I can have my martini.
Yeah. And I was like, I kept thinking about this martini. And I'm like, What's my problem?
And white chocolate, too. You said you hate it.
You know what? It's a really great martini. I hate them now because I had too many
one time. A white chocolate martini.
Well, I'll never drink one again.
Wow, I'm really curious.
I had too many one time and had a bad episode.
Really?
Well, martini, I mean, I'm a lightweight, and then on top of it, martinis are strong.
Yeah.
You know, so you just need like two, maybe, if that, two martinis. And, like, I think I was on 3.5 or something.
Really?
They're, like, sweet.
Uh-huh.
Like
a liqueur or something.
Yeah, they're like they line the cup with, like, chocolate, and then they put it.
Wow.
You know, it's like a real sweet desserty type drink, but it's, like, loaded.
Uh huh.
You know.
Wow, that sounds delicious.
It is. You like white chocolate, don't you? You would love a white chocolate martini. I can't even. I had such a bad. Yeah, I totally, like, it wasn't good.
Yeah, so maybe that's why you don't like white chocolate.
I mean, I can handle a white chocolate martini, or used to, but white chocolate compared to chocolate's a no-brainer. No way in hell.
No, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, but if you can have both, why not, you know? Anyway, we already talked about that. Who cares about white chocolate?
I know. I don't freaking care about
it.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of people on my Facebook and stuff, that girls and people that I went to high school with, that are, you know, they're teachers, or they're working, like, a normal job, and nothing wrong with that. It's just a different way to live. In some ways, there's some many benefits to it, but there's always, like, I hate Mondays, I hate Tuesdays, 3 days till Friday, Friday's here, and I'm like, it's the same post.
Right.
or you see, not maybe not from the same person, but you just see this tone of like,
right,
you know.
Yeah, well, that's Facebook for you. People write down anything, you know, whatever's on their mind.
Man. That's true, but I just think it's interesting because I don't feel that way. I don't really feel that way in L.A. You know.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's Wednesday, great, I'm going to go hike. Not that that's all I do, but...
Yeah, but no, I mean, yeah, look, if you're active and you have things to do and stuff, then yeah, you know, it doesn't matter what day it is. You know, and today we have beautiful weather.
Oh my gosh, I'm doing the stairs.
Are you?
Stairs in Santa Monica.
In Santa Monica.
I'm going to do the stairs. My car is 100% legal, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Okay, so it went from like having expired tags, and then I was like trying to get my tags up to date, and then I kept getting parking tickets, and I was like, why am I getting parking tickets? Because my tags were expired, even though I was trying not to drive my car that much. Mm-hmm. And anyway, long story short, I accumulated like 11 parking tickets, four of which were like way, way, way past their saturation point, mm-hmm. and were like super a lot of money, and then I had to pay my registration. So it was a lot of money. For me, it was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Finally, it's legal. My car's legal. So I drive, mm-hmm. and I'm like, woohoo! I'm not afraid. Like, when a police is near me, I'm like, hey, what's up? Hey!
Yeah.
Bumping my
So how
music.
Come you thought of that when we were talking about the stairs in Santa Monica? Is that where you used to get tickets?
No, because, oh, I guess I didn't make sense. He's like, hey, why did we go there?
I'm trying to connect these two.
Oh, because I'm going to drive my car there. Before, I wouldn't drive there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was just, like, too risky.
Yeah.
I was, like, a little covert driver. I'd be like... looking over my shoulder, like,
I know, that's got to be a terrible way to
drive. It sucks, yeah. You know, but if I had a 9-to-5, I probably would have a regular car that was, like, you know, totally legit and on the books and stuff all the time.
That's right, but that's not you.
Nope.
No, you can't do the 9-to-5. You know, I used to do that for many years.
Did you? What line? Was it the animation?
Well, no, more like, you know, I mean, look, I've done different things over the years, but I would say, like, accounting and things like that, you know, where I used to have, like, jobs, 9-to-5. And I would hate that so much.
Did you?
You know? Yeah, a lot.
How long were you an accountant?
For many years.
I didn't know you were an accountant. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm not like a CPA or anything. I'm just like, you know, I was a controller at a few places and, you know, just manager and things like that. But it was boring, you know? I mean, for a while it was interesting and all that stuff. But, you know, in the long run, I just can't handle that sitting in an office all day, you know, and looking at a computer.
No, you want to sit on a balcony.
Hard. Exactly, and look at a computer there.
Yeah.
You know?
But isn't that the
great
thing?
But then I can stop, yeah. But then I can stop, take breaks and eat and that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and you know, I make my own hours, too.
And your wife, is she with you on and off at home? And
yeah. Yeah, she works, too.
And so does that get... to where I've heard people that have their home as their workplace, sometimes it makes it a stressful environment.
Well, not really, because we're not sitting in the same room and everybody does their thing, you know. And yeah. No, not at all. I mean, it goes smoothly. I can't complain.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited for the weekend and everything. And next week I'm flying out of town for a couple
days. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting.
With your hot wife. You
going
guys are
going to
a
New York.
Trip.
Yeah, we're going to New York, and I love New York. Have you been?
I've never been.
Really?
I know. It's like I'm not even a human because I'm
Yeah,
been
you're not an American.
I know. I can't.
Blue.
It's just, you know, the biggest move I ever made was from Texas to L.A.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I mean, I've traveled a little bit, like, on cruises and stuff like that, but I haven't, you know.
Yeah. We need to find you a rich guy. I already told you that. You'll get to travel more.
You know, when it happens, right?
Yeah.
If I were a rich guy, yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah, a really amazing guy that loves God, that's super hot, that just happens to be rich. That'd be cool.
Yeah. We can find that for you.
Really? Because they're just they're just falling on.
They're all over the place. Yeah.
Not out here. Oh my gosh. Guys out here are crazy.
Yeah?
They're crazy, Sam.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're really crazy.
In what way?
Well, it's a user mentality, so people kind of go through people like they're flavors, not like they're humans. You know? It's like, and I think that guys are just really vain and insecure, and they don't really have, I mean, you got to think about it. All the people that lived everywhere else, except for California or or L.A., that wanted to do something like have dreams, or not every single person, but, you know, people that were artistic driven or whatever and wanted to do something, you know, out of the ordinary came here.
Right.
So they're already a little screwed up.
Right.
You know, we're all a little jacked. If you're really artistic, there's something a little off about you. It's good.
There
it's
you
good.
Go.
But there's always something a little off.
Yeah.
All these people are here. They're here because it's a career They're career seekers, not family seekers, right? Mm-hmm. They're choosing a career and their passion over, maybe they can have both, but if not, they're going to have to choose, or yeah. they're choosing.
But you see,
their career.
I think you're talking about a certain group of people, you know, maybe younger
people. I'm talking more like the vibe. Now, yeah. there's Sam, who's already taken, but there's
yeah,
more,
but,
there's
but,
normal
but
guys.
Look, I mean, the thing is this, is that there's a lot of different people that live here, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but I know, Sam, I'm not making this up. This is a predominant vibe that you meet a lot. I mean, I live in Hollywood, too, so maybe it's more Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But know, I'm just saying yeah. that it's notorious for, like, it's not that every guy's bad. I'm not even saying that these guys are bad. I'm just saying they're not really grounded in the values and family seeking. They're not really,
yeah.
that's not really on their priority
Yeah, well,
list.
This town is not conducive to
yeah,
those
Yeah, it's
things,
not.
You know?
So I'm just saying you're yeah. not really going to meet that kind of guy. You might meet, I've dated and gone out with some really cool guys that are really funny, or they're very talented or have really successful careers. But when it comes to actually, like, merging your life with somebody, and somebody, it's not even with me, they're not even capable, nor are they interested in mm-hmm. having a lifelong partner.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just not on their
yeah.
not on their
yeah.
radar.
Well, maybe you're looking for love in the wrong places.
I'm really looking for it right now.
Yeah, I know. You're just waiting for it to chase you down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like
that's
a harpoon.
Good.
Like
yeah,
a big harpoon.
Exactly.
A big net. Like a big caveman. Throws me over his shoulder. Climbs up like all these boulders with me over his shoulder. You know, anyway.
Yeah, there you go. There's a dream.
You know, you asked.
Yeah.
So, no, but it's good. Life is great. Life is so great. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it is.
I do.
Do you
like
want me to
single.
Bring you a souvenir from New York? Anything that you
yeah.
might...
Yeah. I don't know. What? Just bring me, like, a New York thing. Whatever New York
yeah,
is.
What are New York things? You know, I'm not going to bring souvenirs. I mean, that's so tacky.
It is tacky. Well, you. Yeah. I don't even care if it's
Do you
tacky.
Want, like, a Love New York t-shirt or something?
Sure,
or
go.
A hat or something?
Yeah, there you go. That works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring me back a really cool New York guy.
Yeah,
are guys
that's usually the request from women. Bring
Is
back
it?
A guy.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, well, we'll find a guy. There's millions of them there.
You're funny, Sam.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be fun, though. You're going to have a blast.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm going to a talk radio conference, you know, which should be really, really cool.
Oh, man, you're going to have so much fun.
Yeah, and rubbing, you know, shoulders with a lot of people that, or rubbing elbows. What did I say? Rubbing shoulders. Rubbing elbows with, you know, like important people, famous people, and
Gotta
just people that matter.
People. Yeah, the people yeah. that really matter in life. All yeah. the special
Not
ones.
In life, but in talk radio.
Yeah, there you go. Let's clarify. For yeah. those listening at home, I am not a desperate single girl. I just want to let you guys know that as we talk about the subject matter.
Yeah, I think you've made it plainly clear.
I'm just letting people know because we bring it up a lot, and I don't want them to think that I'm like, I can't find a man.
No, I don't think you come across as that at all.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, you've
good.
Explained yourself. We understand. We understood the fear of God.
And, fear of God.
And we act accordingly. Mm. So today we're going to have, in a few minutes, we're going to call her. We have a flight attendant who wrote
oh.
a book, and it's supposed to be a funny book. But you can imagine flight attendants probably always have some great stories, you know?
How could you not have a bunch of stories?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Betty Thesty, I think. Yeah.
Cool.
Something like that, yeah. So, yeah, she wrote a book called Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase.
I love that.
So maybe you can sing to her Lucy in the Sky,
with a Suitcase.
Yeah, maybe you can sing it to her.
Well, we'll see if she wants to be serenaded.
Yeah.
That's a job that I always thought would be cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool job.
I know,
job.
It's like a lot of people think, but you know what? Let me tell you something.
Tell me,
I
Sam.
Think this job is a glorified waitress.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. You know, you got to wait on people. You got to deal with all their bullshit.
Yeah, no, definitely. But man, the perks. I mean, you just get to fly all the time if you want.
Yeah, but who wants to? Have you been on a plane lately?
No, I'm not saying fly for fun. Oh, let me
yeah.
I've got 5 minutes. Let's go on a flight. No, I mean, you can travel.
Obviously,
one of the
right.
biggest costs of traveling, which is more than your food and entertainment, which is the reason you go on it, mm. is your accommodations and your airfare.
Right.
So if you can, like, cut out your airfare, that's a huge...
Absolutely.
So that's you cool, know. You know?
Yeah. But, you know, you can't really live a family life, I don't think, if you travel a lot.
Mm.
You know, you can't be away from home. So it's got to be for younger women. But if you've noticed, you know, ever since all these labor laws and stuff, you know, now they can't only hire the pretty young girls anymore.
Oh, they can't?
You know? No. You know, that would be age discrimination. So,
okay.
yeah, so that's why they're pretty much taking whoever it is. But I remember, you know, a flight attendant used to be someone you fantasize about. They were, like, hot.
Yeah, you seem to have a lot of those where it's like the lady at the grocery store checking out my groceries.
Yeah.
No, we've all had a fantasy.
It makes
about
life
her.
Interesting.
No, it's funny. I love you, Sam. I love that you're so candid about it. You're like, yeah, I know everybody's fantasized about the lady at the 7-Eleven, right? Flipping the hot dogs, right? No?
Not those. No, not at 7-Eleven.
She's hot with that hairnet.
With
shit.
The hairnet, yeah.
No, I mean, I know that those jobs are not abundantly available. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I've looked into it.
Yes.
The flight attendant thing.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people compete for it, but...
Yeah. But again, let me ask you about the age discrimination. What if you're in an image-based job? How do they then not get sued for saying you don't have the look that we're going for? For example, if you go into certain department stores or certain boutiques and they're hiring sales staff or whatever, consultants or whatever,
right,
and they're having you pretty much... Like, for example, I do promo work, which is promotional modeling. So I'll go out and work up with a brand or work with a company, and we'll pretty much be the face of the company at an event.
Right.
And we'll do several different things, you know, demonstrations, or, you know, I'll run the event or pass out stuff or whatever, or we'll just, you know, be eye candy.
Right.
So it's kind of like modeling. It
right.
is, they call it promotional
but
modeling.
But you see, but they hire you for that. That's the point. So they can justify saying they need to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Because it's like casting, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But when it comes to age, that's a different thing, you know, especially when people will claim that they don't need to be pretty to work on an airliner, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it's like the job doesn't require it.
So you're saying because it's not an image-based position.
Yeah, exactly.
In the field of being a flight attendant. But you could argue, I mean, I'm not trying to make this a narrow job for anybody. I'm just saying you could argue that, no, for example, and I don't know, I've never been on the flight, but I've heard it's like the new fun hip airline is Virgin Airlines. It's really fun. It's really classy. It's supposed to be a lot of fun and kind of rock and roll feel or whatever. Have you ever been on Virgin?
No,
yeah,
I haven't.
Well, apparently, they just do. It's more entertainment. It's just a little bit more. There's a lot more perks, things like that. And I mean, I could see them justifying, hey, our image is this with the airline, so now we're going to staff flight attendants that have this look to match our image.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean?
That's interesting. Yeah.
I don't know,
maybe we can ask her.
Yeah.
You know, she will.
Is she still
an
attendant or not?
I don't know. Actually, I think she is because yeah, I try to get her into the studio, but she said she travels a lot.
Or maybe she's just cashing in on those free perks.
Yeah, maybe. But no, I think. I think she still does it. You know, maybe it's in the blood. You know, who knows? Yeah, but you know, it used to be glamorous to me.
Yeah.
You know, I used to think like, wow, what a great job. But when I see what they actually do, you know, it's like pick up the food, you know, pick up the trash.
It's customer service.
People.
I mean, you're like, when I waited tables, I mean, you see probably one of the most debased sides of humans. I mean, you see some of the ugly side of humanity because you're like, you're dealing with people's food and there's such an entitled attitude.
Yeah.
And there's such an unforgiving attitude sometimes. And people just... A lot of people that don't have power in their own lives or power in any place of their life will come to a restaurant and exert that power because they know that you have to serve them.
Right.
So, you know, I wasn't the best waitress because I did not play that role very well.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, guys, how's it going? Listen up. Okay, I'm really busy. It's probably best to put your order in right now with me because I'm not going to see you in about another 15 minutes. If you want to refill on your drink, ask the other guy because I'm, like I said, too busy. And, okay, ready? Who's ready? And people give me attitude. I'm like, look, I don't have time to get emotional about your food. What do you want? I don't have time to get emotional.
So you're not good waitress material at all.
Well, I was very entertaining, and I would keep people laughing, and that helped me. And I was decent. I wasn't like horrible. But, I mean, no, I was pretty horrible at some times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't think you should do that or something like that, maybe bartending and stuff?
No, I think something a little more singular. Like I could probably, you know, cocktail or something like that that's just focused on one thing.
Right.
Whereas like when you're serving food, it's like this, you have to really multitask well. And then there's so many different types of clientele. Some want to be entertained. Some want you to leave them alone. There's just a lot of, you know, different kind of management skills you need to have on top of being you know, really great. I found that it wasn't the time with the people I had a hard time with. It's the actual managing your time management and the multitasking skills with depending on the kind of restaurant you're working
at. Yeah, like you being pulled in all directions.
Yeah, and it started. I mean, I actually got pretty good at it for the time that I was there. I mean, for me, I got good at it. But some people just are they're just more efficient in that way. I'm an entertainer, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't wait tables again if I need to. I mean, yeah. I do need to, so. I'm a great waitress. Hire me. Woo-hoo! I will show up on time, right, Sam? Hey. Ready to rock.
Yeah.
Ready to rock.
Do you ever hit your dad up for money or anything?
No, my dad, no, we're not that close. And I don't think he has any, to be honest.
Yeah. So you're not close with your mom or your dad?
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my dad. My dad's like a really cool guy, but he's, you know, he's kind of, he started a business, I guess I want to say about 4 years ago, and mm-hmm. it's the barbecue catering kind of sandwich place,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually doing really well, I mean, as far as they're growing, but it's not like he's not like rolling in the dough, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And I mean, you know, we don't really have that relationship, but right. I mean, I love him to death, he's a great guy, but it's just not a traditional, you know,
right.
father type daughter relationship.
Right.
Yeah. And
my
mom
the same
is
with your mom as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but I have an awesome aunt, and her name is Deborah, and she is like, she's just like amazing, and we're so similar. And she's I always say she's like my biggest investor.
Yeah.
Because she has. I mean, she's always like been there for me. I mean, I don't like fall back on her, but there's been times when she's helped me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is it painful like not to be close to your parents?
It's kind of all I know.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what it's like to be like, oh, it's not like we were super close and then like something happened. I mean, I don't really feel. A void. I think there's parts of it that when I look back at other people's life, I go, oh, that's kind of weird, you mm-hmm. know? But I don't want to paint them in bad lights because it's not like they're bad people. It's just more of a...
But the reality is you're not close.
I mean, we're you know when you like for example, my dad, he's cool. Actually, I think you'd totally love him. Everybody loves him. He's so funny and he's cool.
Uh-huh.
But we don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
Like we talk about food because he loves food and I love food too. And he cooks and I love to cook. And he's into sports. I hate sports. And we just don't have much to talk about. So it's like we're on the phone and it's more of an obligatory type phone call.
Exactly. Yeah, you just
and
like...
we just don't have it. But I mean, I also think that like, you know, if relationships have to be nurtured, they have to be like a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that takes work. And for whatever reason, he has not really been available in that department.
Yeah.
And then I don't really
reach out. Was that the case with the rest of your siblings too?
My brother is actually really close to my dad.
I see.
They go golfing together. They see each other like a couple times a month.
Right.
You know, they're actually pretty close. But I think part of that has to do with the fact that they're like male bonding and stuff.
Right. And they live close to each other, right?
Yeah, relatively close. And the thing is like I'm like a strong, you know, person and a strong woman. And I'm very opinionated. And I just don't think he knows how to handle that. I don't think he's... Yeah. But most people don't know how to handle that, especially... where I'm from. And especially here. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, when you're somebody that has like knows yourself and you know how to converse and you're like fully present or whatever, it seems to be a real commodity. And so when I go back home, I just find like there's a strength I have that maybe is intimidating or something, and we don't really...
That's interesting.
It is interesting. You know, my friends came to visit. I did a girls trip last year in July to Texas and showed them around. And we went to say hi to my dad. And they loved his food. He's freaking amazing. His food is so good. I'm really proud of him, actually. But, they were like, it was really weird meeting your dad because you could tell, like, he's really cool and, like, he's your dad, but it does not feel like you guys are related. As far as, like, there's not, like, a dad-daughter vibe. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not at all. It's very business.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? That's how life goes. And, you know, life isn't over. Who knows? Things can always change. And at the bottom, end of the day, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a love issue.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's your parents, you know. You love them regardless.
That's how life is. I mean, you love. And I totally love them. And I'm really proud of them. And, you know, if I were to make it, you know, which I know I will one day, and he's still doing his business, I would love to help invest and,
mm-hmm.
you know, really get his business going.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because it's really good. It really is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was almost on the Food Network. He was up for it.
Nice.
Yeah, for one of his dishes. So, but it ended up going to somebody else. But I was really proud of him though. It's like, man, that's awesome because you know somebody's only been doing it like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And they're starting literally from scratch and mm-hmm. they're you know building their business. I mean, that's really commendable.
It is.
You know, because he's doing what he's passionate about.
Yeah.
And they say if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
And would you agree with that, Sam?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do agree.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to love getting up in the morning and going to work. You know, if you don't, forget about it because it becomes the hardest thing in the world,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get up in the morning and go to work.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people do that. It's like, you know, just like robots, you know, every day. But you know what? I'm not here to criticize anyone, because you go and you make a living however you have to.
And it's an honest living, you know?
Yeah.
Do what you've got to do. I mean, I worked a Persian party.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I was at a Persian party there on freaking television, singing, lip-syncing to a song I never heard before.
Yeah, standing out like a sore thumb with your blonde hair.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much. And I'm working a party this Saturday, and it's a pajama party, this annual pajama party. Mm-hmm. And I'm working kind of as like the doing like a little bit of social hosting, but primarily like stocking the fridge and making sure everybody's got what they need, you know, kind of mm-hmm. one of those things, like making sure the trash isn't overflowing and just kind of like hanging out.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, she's like, this is our fourth annual pajama party we have. I just want to let you know, we're not swingers, we're not crazy, but it does get a little bit, you know, clothing becomes optional later on in the evening.
Oh, really? Is that what she told you?
Yeah. And so I was like, well, I already said yes, and I totally need the cash, so yeah. I'm going to go and just try not to look.
Besides, you'll be an outsider. What do you care? You know, you'll get to watch some naked people.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Love a good naked party.
There you go.
Can't wait. Can't wait. No, so she's like, you know, wear whatever you want, whatever you're comfortable with, and, you know, less is more, but that's great. She's like, some people are going to be in pasties and stuff like that.
Really?
Oh, the adventures of Kara.
Yeah.
So I will be
Can
going.
You imagine you walking around in pasties and stuff?
Oh, hell no. Are you kidding me? First of all, I'm a real woman, so I'm not like, you know, tits on a stick.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right,
like the fake boobs that are like completely like pointing to the sky,
right.
And they're like basketballs on a...
But that's not all that men look for.
No, I know, but I'm just saying like women that are like super thin, that are like, they put their pasties on their like... You know what I mean? It's just like a different... Like, I'm like, I've got a real body, so if I walk, it walks with me.
Right.
It moves.
Okay.
It moves. We don't need a... We don't... It moves. This is the real body, like, you know. if you push me, it's gonna push you back. You know what I mean? Like, it's just there's movement there. So.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Would you walk around with pasties on your?
My dick.
Would you rock around?
I walked around with pasties in a topless parade in Venice a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went with my former co-host, Susie.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, she had, like, small boobs and stuff. So, for her, it's, like, easy to take off her shirt, put on pasties, and
go on. Oh, yeah, like a Band-Aid.
So then all the guys put on pasties as well, you know, and we were just walking.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, down Venice.
Was it, like, a bunch of people?
Yeah, it was, like, a whole group of people.
It was a topless parade?
Yeah. But they made everybody wear pasties. But it was still pretty cool.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I took my son with me.
Of course, because that's the way you bond.
We went in the back where everybody was putting on their pasties so we could see some real nippage.
Okay,
it was exciting.
Sam,
it was exciting.
Wow.
You're speechless.
Oh, it's L.A. I mean, they've got artists that are body painted, you know?
Right.
They do. They're called like, they're just body paint. They just have no clothes on, but they've got body paint, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have them like walk around and serve cocktails and stuff. They're models that are hired.
Right.
And then they have other ones where they have like these naked models that lay down. And they just put like leaves over their, mm-hmm. and then they serve sushi off of them.
I see. Really?
Yeah.
Well, find me a place like that. I'll start eating sushi then.
Oh, you don't like sushi?
It's not that I don't like it. I never tried it. And then when I tried a couple, it was not bad, you know. But I don't know. You know, some of them where you really see the fish and stuff, I just can't eat that.
Oh, my gosh.
When
sushi's
not
so
good.
And it's not that – it's not heavy. It's, like, really
right,
thin.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, it looks amazing, you know, the way
tonight,
they make it look.
Take your woman.
Yeah. It just – I need to take it in small portions.
Well, there's a lot of different kinds. You can get kinds that aren't raw.
Exactly. You know, like maybe some kind of baked shrimp or something, you know. Don't they have those in rolls? Something like that.
Yeah, they've got good stuff. Just go.
All right. Well, we're going to call our author. Her name is Betty Theske, and she is a flight attendant, and we believe she still is, and she wrote a book. So we're going to find out all about
her.
Good morning, Betty. This is Sam and Kara calling you.
Good
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just great.
Great. Where are you today? I know you're flying all over the place.
I'm actually in Santa Monica right now.
Oh, really? Well, so you're very close to us. You're enjoying the weather and everything.
And it's fabulous here.
Yeah. So the first thing we wanted to ask you, we were asking ourselves, are you still a flight attendant? Do you still fly?
Yes. I just flew in last night.
Oh.
I've been flying for 23 years.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a long time.
You've got stories, girl.
Yeah, let me tell you.
I have a ton of stories.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, since, you know, you mentioned you've been doing this for a while, and we were discussing whether there's age discrimination when it comes to flight attendants. I mean, do you see that? Is it something of the past that you used to see and you don't anymore? I mean, are airlines even allowed by law to hire based on age or on looks?
Sam, there's very little hiring in the airlines these
days. Yeah.
No.
So, actually, the age issue is that nobody retires.
I see.
We actually have flight attendants who are in their 80s.
Really?
Wow. That's the truth, right? Wow. They're not easy jobs to come by.
It's not an easy job to come by, and because the airline industry's had trouble since 9/11, most airlines have cut back, and they've cut back their schedules. That's why the flights are so full. So because they've been cutting back and letting people go, they aren't hiring. So there's very few young people anymore, which in a way is a little bit of a shame. But for me, I have like this false sense of youth because there aren't any young people.
Yeah, there you go. You're entrenched in there already.
You sound young. You sound full of life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got lots of energy. But yeah, we don't have very many young people, and we have a lot of older flight attendants. And I know the traveling public, they don't like that as much because, you know, they liked it better when, you know, they used to have to, they were fired once they got married or fired once they got to age 30. But now these days, of course, there's
yeah,
none of that.
They can't do that, yeah.
No.
Yeah, but I agree. I mean, you know, I think it used to be when flying was still young that people almost expected the flight attendants to be attractive and young and so forth.
Stewardesses.
You know? Yeah, exactly. There were stewardesses then.
I actually like to be called a stewardess. I think it sounds much better than flight attendant.
Yeah,
you know. It sounds a little bit like bathroom attendant.
Exactly. You know, everything's got to be PC now, you know. Everything's politically correct.
Why did they get rid of stewardess? Why did they get rid of the name?
Well, it had to do with two different things. It was sort of because they thought it was sort of sexualized. That was the idea at the time, and also because of male flight attendants, but they could have been called stewards. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
And I like the old glamorous idea of a flight attendant, and I wish we were still called stewardesses.
Right. Okay, we can arrange for that, you know, if we get everybody in the same room. So this is cool. So you must have traveled, I mean, obviously, quite a bit around the world and stuff. Is there anywhere you haven't been?
You know, there's thank goodness there's still lots of places I haven't been, but mm-hmm. I travel. I got the job because I like to travel, and I travel on my own time, and I have a very flexible schedule, so I can arrange a lot of time off. So I have been, but more places than most people, that's for darn sure. I can take like maybe 5 big trips a year, which is more than most people.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
There's lots of places I haven't been. I've been to like Antarctica. There's actually lots of places in Europe I haven't been because it's kind of expensive in Europe. I tend to go to the less expensive places so I can mm-hmm. travel more.
Right, right.
What's one of your favorite destinations that you've been to?
You know, one of my favorite destinations was Easter Island. Mm-hmm. You know, where they have the big statues, the big head statues.
Right. Yes, I know those. Yes, I've seen those. They have those big head statues.
What part of the world is Easter Island?
You know, it is the most remote place on earth that people live. It's 5-hour flight from Santiago, Chile, and the next closest place would be a 4-hour flight to Tahiti.
Wow.
So it's like somewhere it's not like the Pacific.
It is the Pacific.
It is the Pacific. Okay, it's kind of like in that South Pacific
way
area?
Way out, but way far away from everything else. It's like a speck out in the middle of nowhere with these huge statues.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I like it because nobody's there. Very few people go there. So I kind of like to go to places that people haven't been. And there's also so much mystery and history there. So that was just a fantastic destination.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds pretty good. You see, I like to travel in style, 5-star hotels and stuff. But I think after a while, you start to get tired of this. And you go, let me go to some more exotic places, you know. And
There's no five-star. Actually, oh, actually, yeah. I take that back. They just built like a $400 a night place on Easter Island. But before that,
really?
Most of the hotels were like $20 a night.
Yeah.
Wow.
$400 a night.
What was that? What is that place like? I mean, what was your experience like there?
It was a magical place. They actually think it's almost like the Lost Island because the statues
Lost.
Have a magnetic quality. Like if you put a compass up to it, it just spins around.
Really?
So it has an effect on people. So, like, when I got there, I never felt so good in my whole life. I had this stupid grin on my face the whole time, no matter what was happening, because I just felt great. People actually pick up and move there because they feel so good on that island.
Really?
Wow. Middle of nowhere. Gosh,
yeah.
That's so cool. Wow.
I actually got stalked on Easter Island. Which
you got stalked? I'm so jealous. How did it go?
What was so funny is I landed there, and I had wanted to see the statues, but I thought I'd have to take a tour, get on a bus or a bike or something to see them. So I get there, and I walk down to the beach, and there was one right there. And I look up the beach, and I saw another one and five more. So I'm a hiker, also. I heard you like to hike. So I started just hiking up the beach. I wasn't prepared or anything, but I was just so excited. And, like, there's only one town on that island, so within, like, a half an hour, there were no people. And then, like, an hour and a half, there's really no one but me and the crashing waves and the big statues. And then these two guys come galloping up on horseback.
What?
They had no shirt on.
What?
Like, listen, they had two guys come galloping up on horseback, and I'm thinking, I just arrived there. I don't know if it's safe or not. I'm by myself. I'm, like, holding my purse thinking, you know, is this a gallop-up mugging, you know? I don't know. And the guy says to me, he's got long hair and no shirt on, a six-pack, and, you know, on a horse. And he says, do you want to watch the sunset with the Moai? And I was thinking to myself, I don't know.
Let's see. <yeah.
laughs> This is a romance novel. It's a romance novel.
You know, it was just out of a romance novel, which was so ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
I said,
well, there you go. You know, you wanted adventures and you found them, you know.
But it turned out that this guy had seen me get off the plane by myself, and there's only like 3,000 people on the island, and when the plane comes, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So he had followed me.
Right. Wow.
So what was he trying to do? I mean, what was this about? Was he trying to bed you? Was he trying to get your money? Was he trying to, like, get off
the
island?
Actually, probably both. So what happened was I said, okay, I'll watch the sunset because I wanted to talk to the local people and hear what they had to say. And we start watching the sunset. The other guy gallops off. And this guy, he had no shirt on but a jacket, and the sun's going down, so it's getting colder. And all of a sudden, his jacket's, like, on his shoulders, and it's a little further down, sitting there shirtless, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go. You know, I know a player. I don't care where you are in the world.
Wow. So he was trying to win over the American, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Just like in the books.
Well, no, actually, it was in the book, which was so funny. The next day, I was telling some other tourists about my Don Juan, the Rapa Nui. It's called Rapa Nui, the island, which I thought was so funny. And they said, oh, yeah, didn't you see the page in the guidebook? There's a whole page in the guidebook that says Rapa Nui Romeos, how a lot of women fall for the local men because they're so, you know, romantic on horseback with their long hair and the dark skin. They're kind of Polynesian looking. Uh-huh. And a lot of women will, you know, move there only to find out that Romeo has, you know, moved on to somebody else.
Right.
Wow. They're just like living on a hot island, being players and living life.
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
Sounds
Karen,
like your place,
you should,
Sam.
You should Google Easter Islands. You'll see all these statues. They're amazing. And I mean, those statues, are they all in one place or are they like all over the island?
They're all over the island.
Wow.
And they would carve them and then they would move them to the beach. They were sort of like to protect them. They kind of thought if, like, ships came up, they'd look and say, well, we don't want to go to that island. There's, like, giant people there.
I see. Wow.
Oh.
Very, very interesting stuff. You see, that's why you got to go to exotic places and that. Sounds good.
Yeah,
and then, you know, they actually toppled over all those statues because the poor people... The rich people were making the poor people carve the statues.
Mm.
And then it's like kind of what is happening to the world. They cut down all the resources. They cut down all the trees making the statue. And then they couldn't, like, fish or they didn't have any shelter. So then there was, like, you know, everybody was dying. So the poor people killed all the rich people and then ran around and knocked over all the statues.
Right.
I don't blame them. That happened with the French Revolution, too, right? Just you can only oppress them for so long. They're to like, screw this.
Yeah.
And now people, they've put the statues back up. But a lot of them are still toppled over.
Really? Very
wow.
Interesting stuff. So, Betty, you wrote the book, Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase, and we started humming Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I'm sure that was the inspiration there. So tell us a little bit about the book. How did the book come about?
Well, I have a podcast, which I'm sure you know all about because you podcast your episodes. So I started in 2005 as a podcast, and the podcast became really popular. It's funny because it wasn't anything I was trying to do, but I like to tell stories. And then a publisher came to me and asked me if I wanted to turn it into a book. So I had no intention of writing a book.
There you go. That's nice.
That's so cool.
So when did you write the book?
The book just came out last month in February, but it's been in the process for like 3 years. It's a very long process. I never intended to be an author, but I tell you, that's a lot of work.
It is. It is a lot of work. And we talk to many authors, and it does take years to come out with a book.
Yeah.
So,
it is exciting to actually have it now. I can actually hold it in my hand.
I'm sure. It's like a little baby, you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about, like, you know, what it kind of covers. I know this is probably very diverse, but what is it kind of?
It's almost all airline stories. So it's things that happen in the air. It's pilots and flight attendants and ground people all telling stories, and me telling stories about just all the ridiculous things that happen when you cram that many people in a metal tube hurtling across the country.
Right. Yeah.
Because all kinds of crazy things happening.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Well, you're going to New York, right?
Yes, I'm going to New York. Oh, you've been listening. There you go.
I did. And so I hope nothing crazy happens on your flight, but you would not believe all the weird stuff. And most of the time, the passengers have no idea the stuff that goes on.
Right.
You're sitting there
with your headphones on. You have no idea, like, all the different crazy passengers.
Right. And whatever happens in the background. Now, this begs the question. Did you ever run into someone who were doing the Mile High Club?
I knew
club
you were going to go there. I was like, I don't even have to ask that question.
I mean, she's been in the air for 25 years. She must have run into something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's the thing with the Mile High Club. Uh-huh. Everybody wants to do this, but it is not that easy to actually...
They're tiny.
Exactly. It's very small quarters there.
I didn't think about it.
Okay, so here is one of the stories that happened on one of the flights. What people do when they are trying to join access to the Mile High Club is they wait till we're sort of distracted, or they wait till we're in a different cabin, and then they have, like, they've been going over this for so long, the couple usually, right? So this happened in first class, and I had left the galley. And what must have happened between the two of them? First class is even more difficult because there's only one lab, there's only a few passengers,
right.
So it's hard to not have the other passengers notice.
Do it in the first class when there's only like four people?
Yeah, and everybody can watch you going in too, you know?
So they must have decided that the guy would go in, he wouldn't lock the door, and then the girl would go in, because if you lock the door and have to knock, everybody's going to look up when you knock, right?
Right, right.
So they had gone in, and, you know, she had gone in, and nobody noticed, which was great. They start getting hot and heavy, start banging around in there. But what had happened was, apparently, then she didn't lock the door, because they kept talking about not locking the door.
Uh-huh.
So when they pressed up against the door, the two of them fell out into the aisle.
Oh, my gosh.
So that is not a successful completion to the Mile High Club.
No, wow.
Do they get in trouble for that? Is there repercussions for it?
No, I mean, we don't have the police meet the flight or anything, unless they actually cause a disturbance.
There's none of this, like, you get fined or anything like that.
You could if it got to a point, but I've never seen it. I've never actually heard of it. You know, it's harmless in a way, but it can be a problem, because one time I had only two lavatories in the back, and this couple was in there, and I came back, and the one lavatory wasn't working, so there was really only one, and this girl was like hunched over in the galley, and I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, I'm cramps and I can't get in the bathroom. And so I start knocking on the door, and there's two people come out.
That's
and I'm like,
so funny.
You can't do this when there's one bathroom.
That's funny. You're just like, you're not even yelling out that they're doing it. You're like, look, come on, people.
Yeah.
Come on, like, we got one bathroom.
And these people said, oh, no, that's, how dare you say that? That's not what we were doing. She has a medical condition. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Police.
Whatever stories they have, yeah.
Well, I just don't know how you would, you barely, when you get in those bathrooms, you barely can turn around to, like, unzip your pants to, like, go to the restroom. You know what I mean?
And it's dirty, too. I have no desire to join that club.
Yeah, it seems kind of gross.
Yep. Yeah, and uncomfortable in that. But I guess it's just the excitement.
It's
the
thrill of it. You know, yeah. I'll probably do it in my time. I probably will. When I get married, I'm like, look, it's on our. We got to check this freaking box off.
You know, actually, when the people get more in trouble, is they try to do it in their seats. You know what?
Oh, that's not really right. Come on.
Yeah,
and under blankets and things like that, and then they put us in a really uncomfortable position to have to say, excuse me.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Are you talking like full? We don't have to go there. I use my imagination.
No, but there can be. I've seen men with men under a blanket. You know, with the blankets moving up and down, things like that.
Well, obviously you do have some funny stories.
On a plane? Come on.
Yeah, with passengers. You know, it's like you can't be doing this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's illegal, too, you know, I mean, to expose yourself or whatever, you know, they would call it, like, maybe lewd conduct or something.
Listen, my apartment's really close to this house, and I was on the phone, and I heard this, and I said, what the hell? I said, Sarah, is that you? She goes, no, Kara, come here. And I was on the phone. I think the person on the phone heard it. And it was like, and we went into the bathroom, and our bathroom window was open. This lady was, like, doing it hardcore. Uh-huh. And she was making sure the whole damn world heard her. And I was just like, close a window. Like, close your window.
Yeah.
So I don't know how people think they can get away with it on a freaking plane.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Jam-packed with, like, 200 passengers.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't make me feel that sexy, you know, to be crammed in there.
Let's talk about. I have a question for you. Let's talk about the pilots. First of all,
okay.
We were talking about this. Okay, traveling. It does something to the brain, doesn't it? It kind of jacks with the brain a bit. It makes you think that there aren't consequences. There's not really anything goes. I think is the idea of what happens when people travel a lot and maybe don't have any roots, possibly.
Okay, so you're talking about, like, infidelity among the pilots?
Or, you know, just, not even, yeah, that, and just, you know, just, like, you know, fraternizing and like, you know, my idea of thinking, like, pilots probably hit on the stewardesses a lot. That's just what I would think, just because they're in close quarters. You may see them on different legs of the, you know, the trip a lot, and just the fact that you guys are, you're in the sky. What happens in the sky stays in the sky.
You would actually be surprised that it doesn't happen as much as you think it
would. Okay, so that's what I wanted to know.
Pilots are a little boring. I hate to say that. That's why pilots everywhere are out there getting mad at me.
Yeah.
But they have like a military background. They're very Republican. actually, the pilots can be... They're very interesting, but I wouldn't want to date one.
Right. Okay.
But here's the thing with the pilots. It does happen more on international flights. I would be more concerned if I had a pilot husband on international flights, because when you're in another country, that's even more removed than when you're just in the air.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little far from home, so you don't feel so bad about it.
Yeah, I see much more hanky-panky on international flights than domestic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not really as commonplace, because you just see the television and the movies.
Yeah, exactly, and, you know, the movies, and we think it happens all the time, you know. But
the strange thing is, we actually don't stay with the pilots. We see them for one flight. Lots of times we don't lay over with them. They're on a completely different schedule.
Right.
So it's actually not... there's not as much hanky-panky as you'd think.
Right. Now, I see here on one of your podcasts, you talk about a couple of airlines that don't exist anymore, the People Express and Pacific East Airlines, and you've given reasons for that. I wonder about People Express, because I know for a while it was pretty popular.
It was the first low-cost airline.
Right.
I worked for them, and we actually took a little cash register through the aisle, and we took the money for the tickets on the plane.
Really?
Wow. This is my kind of deal. Yeah. Like, yeah, I got $5 on me. Here you go. Let's do this. Just drop me off over Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they used to try to outwit us with that, because they figured, you know, if they were in the bathroom or if they moved seats, they wouldn't even have to pay for their flight.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like sneaking in. Yeah. Whoa. That's pretty cool. So what happened to that airline? Is that pretty much...
There was a whole bunch of things that happened because they were trying to build a different world, like build a better world. And unfortunately, there were supposed to be no Indians. Everybody was a chief. But unfortunately, you sort of can't trust people like that because they were like agents at People Express that would sign in the morning and go home because there was no boss. Nobody was watching to see where they were.
Really?
Years they would come in, sign in, and go home.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, where's Bob? Yeah. I haven't seen him in 10 years.
Yeah, I can see how a business won't last very long like this.
Unfortunately, you can't trust everyone. And then because we took the money for the flights in the air, if the whole crew would say you had 20 less people on your flight than you did, then they would just divide it up. The whole thing was, it was sort of a crazy way to run an airline, and unfortunately, you do need some cheats.
Right. Yeah, there
little,
you go. You
gotta have a little order, you know?
Yeah.
It's just too not. It's too idealistic to think people aren't going to have bad motives or...
I know it's bad, but it's true.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's just going to be people that are going to lie, cheat, and steal. It's just a fact of life, you know?
Yeah. Betty, you know, I was wondering, what about family life and stuff? I mean, obviously, this is not conducive to really being tied down in one place. Have you been in a long-term relationship and still was able to fly?
Yeah, you know, actually, this is very surprising, and most people don't realize this. It's actually one of the best jobs to be a wife and a mother.
Really?
Because it's so flexible that you can basically drop down to no hours a month if you want. So this way, when people have young kids at home, they fly less, and they fly maybe on the weekends when the husband's home or something. Right. And this way, or they fly all-nighters, so the kids don't even realize they're gone. Mm-hmm. So they can still keep their job, and then they can, you know, keep all their benefits. And then when the kids, you know, are more self-sufficient, they start flying more again.
Right. Wow. That
You'd
makes
be surprised.
Sense.
I know it's opposite of what most people think. But actually, I am single because I like being single.
Right.
Tell us about
nothing
that.
Wrong with that.
Tell us about that. I think we need to hear more of people that are like, look, I love where I am. If it changes, great. If it doesn't, great. And I love it. Tell us.
You know, I have a very different idea. And I got so tired of defending myself. People always say things like, you know, why aren't you married? You know, you're so pretty and you have such a good personality. Like, there's something wrong with you if you're not married.
Yeah.
But I think it's a viable option because I love the beginning of a relationship, you know, like the first 6 months when you feel like a teenager and you feel young. And, you know, I don't fall in love that often, but say it happens, you know, every other year or something like that. I like it that way.
Right. Yeah.
You like the beginning kind of romance, the crazy high highs and the low lows and just fun.
I actually like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having like a 6 month love affair where it never gets bad, it never gets boring, you never argue, and it's just like the best part of the relationship.
There you go.
I know people that think that. I have I know a friend, he's like, this is as fun as it gets. He's like, don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Like, it's as fun as it gets.
I do like this informal survey at work, and I'm always asking people that are married, you know, you know, do you still like your husband? Do you still like your wife? And lots of times I get the answer, oh, sometimes. You
know? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, those other times you just take a flight somewhere.
Well, Sam, how about you? Yeah. Are you happily married?
Yes, very happily married. And sometimes I wonder what it'd be like to be single again. But, you know, for the most part, it's comfortable, it's fulfilling, and that's that, you know. But I do agree with you that when there's a certain distance occasionally, it does help the relationship, you know. It gives you some time to spend alone, to be able to look at the relationship from the outside and, you know, from afar.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe appreciate it, too.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So, well, there's so much to talk about.
Well, I just feel like, you know, going back to your single thing, it's so interesting because... it seems like there's just the mentality that the grass is greener, right? And that whatever side of the fence that somebody else is on sounds like it's better. So when you're single, everybody's wanting to try to hook you up, and they're trying to think that this is the life that you need. And then when you're married, everybody's trying to live vicariously through their single friends.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I kind of feel like it's like be happy where you are and live life and love it. And if it's the right, it'll happen. If not, then it won't. And I think it's
I don't have
cool.
anything against marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's fantastic. And I just think that there's options and that one isn't necessarily better than the other.
Right.
I gotcha. That's, and especially like the lifestyle that you want too, which is just going, you know, flying when you want, doing what you want. I mean, that's really cool. Some of the most amazing people in my life are single and, you know, just very, they're very available. Like they're accessible.
Right.
You know? Like I said this to a friend of mine, and this is a little while back. Living in LA, there's a lot of people that are just kind of all over the place, don't have families, you know, holidays roll around, we all kind of get together, and, you know, there's just a lot of people that have needs out here that for just basic love and connection. And I find that sometimes my married friends are in their own bubble of a world of the, like, this is our family now, and our family is what matters. Mm. And I started thinking, you know, families can be mean, and I mean that very metaphorical. It's just kind of this kind of inside world versus the outside world, and it's like sometimes there's a, like an out of touch of what the hell's going on with the community or like the culture of people. And lack of caring, because they're all about, you know, our family. We got to make our family work and our unit, you know?
Yeah, they're all little family bubbles.
Yeah, and I mean, I respect it because, I mean, I want a family one day. I totally get it. But at the same time, there's just like an out of touch. It's like, you know, it kind of irritates me, actually. It kind of pisses me
okay,
off.
Okay, well, this has little to do with airlines.
Anyway, my point is, I like her. She and I are bonding here.
There you go. You made her your therapist now.
Anyway, no, but listen, back to you in the suitcase. So where's the next trip? Where are you going?
My next trip, I think I'm going to Venezuela next week.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
By myself.
Nice.
I travel by myself a lot.
Okay. What are you going to do? What's on the agenda?
You know, there's a great mountain you can hike there. It's like this strange plateau of a mountain. It's like one of the biggest flat-topped mountains, and a lot of people, it's like a big challenge for people. And then there's great snorkeling, and they have the rainforest there. And I think I'll probably go on like a wildlife safari.
Oh, my gosh. See, like, what a life, right?
Yep. There you go.
Yeah, it's just a typical Wednesday. I'm going to be on a wildlife safari. I'm going to go, I'm going to go swim with a dolphin and then go eat a giraffe and, you know, do a fertility dance around a fire. And they'll be back in Santa Monica on Thursday. See ya.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely living the life, you know, because I think often, you know, like, what is the ultimate thing? I mean, you know, people wonder what they'll do when they retire and so forth. And I think that, you know, most people would say, oh, I would just love to travel. And there you are doing this every day, you know. So I can see where you'd enjoy this kind of work.
Yeah, and I remember I heard a little bit of your show earlier, and you were saying that, you know, it is sort of like a glorified waitress. But mm-hmm. I don't mind being called a glorified waitress if I can go to, you know, Kona for work and snorkel at work.
There you go.
That's
there
what I'm
you
trying
go.
To say.
It's worth
get
it.
Your
you're
way,
right.
Get your glorified waitress on. I mean, you're a glorified traveler is what you are, right?
Yeah.
It's a great way to be able to travel.
Yeah.
It's one of the very few jobs that has the flexibility of time off and to be able to fly for free.
Yeah.
There you go. Can't argue
hard
with that.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you this. I know women that would like they all were doing the flight attendant thing, and they all go in on an apartment, and there'd be like 10 girls sharing an apartment, but it was really because of their time schedule. One would be in town, one would be out. So their cost of living was very, very low because of work, and they weren't really in town that often. What do you do for like, do you just stay at hotel?
You know, my cost of living is very low. Also, I have a rent control apartment in Santa Monica.
What?
Very fortunate.
Nice.
Yeah. You've got the life, Betty, let me tell you.
I know. You know, right now I feel so fortunate because I have a book, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
Who would have thought that I have a – you know, I was happy just being a flight attendant and traveling. You know, that was what I wanted to do. And now I have got a podcast and a book.
Congratulations.
Like, wow.
This is amazing. So, the book, of course, is Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase, and you can find more about it at bettyinthesky.com. And,
we have an ebook. Also, you can get it at smashwords.com, and I'm on amazon.com.
Woo-hoo!
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, congratulations to you. Everybody go out and get the book. We never got a copy of it, so maybe you can send us one in the meantime.
And, I'd love to send you one.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll take care of that after the show. But but you sound like a lot of fun, and I'm sure the book is just as much fun.
And I think your show is really fun, too.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You so
thank
much,
you
so much, Betty.
So, okay, well, Betty Theske, again, the book is Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. And all the best to you, Betty.
Thanks,
thank you
Betty,
so much.
Thanks, Betty, so much.
You too. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cool lady.
Yeah.
I like her.
Well, you know, you have to be. If you work with people and stuff, you know, you want to be personable and fun and stuff, you know. And I don't think enough flight attendants are like that.
Oh,
you
really?
Know?
You don't think that they're...
No, many of them you can tell they don't really want to be there, you know. I mean, okay, not a lot of them, but some, you know.
Kind of like that kind of attitude, like they're just not really, you know, like the kind of person that you want to be stuck on a flight with.
Yeah.
I hear you.
You hear me. Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Call in 9423-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. conversation, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Get someone calling here. Let's see if we can catch this call real quick. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Are you there?
Hi. I didn't mean to be on the air, actually. I was just calling because I have an artist that's interviewing tonight on this station. I just wanted to confirm his interview time.
Well, you're on the air live.
On the air. Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Good.
In Washington, D.C.
Oh, you're calling from D.C. Well, congratulations. So, you know what you can do is send me an email, and I'll help you figure it out, okay? So,
okay.
Just send it to info@latalkradio.com, and I'll give you all the instructions and everything.
That is so funny.
Thank you so much. Hello, LA Talk Radio. We love you out in D.C.
Yay.
Thank you very much. What is your name?
My name is Shondell Bostic. I'm a manager for Kevin LaVar, and he's going to be interviewing tonight with Tony.
Oh, okay. He's going to be on Tony Sweet's show tonight at 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody
tonight,
catch that. That will be exciting. Well, thank you so much.
Yes.
And hopefully calling to Tony's show will make a lot more sense.
thank you so much for calling. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sweet lady.
That's really funny how that's happened a couple times.
It does happen.
Like, you're on the air. Yeah. They're like, what? I just wanted to know.
I know. I love that. But they don't expect to be on the air. And
I
then
love
they are.
It. Yeah. I love that. That's so funny.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So this weekend, you're lounging on a porch.
Probably. You know what? I should be doing something. You know, like I told you, though, you know, I've lived here 32, 33 years, and there's just nothing that excites me
here
anymore.
You've already done the topless pasty parade. So
there
you're like,
you go.
What else?
You see,
it's all downhill.
There's nothing left.
It's all downhill from there. How would you feel if your wife wanted to go and she wanted to go topless with pasties on?
I would not be happy about it.
Really?
No. No, I would not be happy about it. Why would I be?
I just think it's interesting because you enjoy going and
right.
you enjoy watching it.
Right.
And you enjoy, like, you know, your friend, your co-host, she
Yeah,
went,
but watching is one thing. Participating is another.
You participated.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, I don't have boobs.
But your wife, like, she couldn't go be free and liberated and have pasties on her nips?
Well, you know what? If she wanted to, she could, I suppose.
But you wouldn't be too happy about it.
No, I don't think she would do that.
Well, she probably wouldn't be her style, but I'm saying if she was like, you know what, screw it, I'm doing it too. Give me the flower ones.
Okay, well, I suppose I wouldn't be able to stop her at that point.
But you wouldn't be a fan of it. You'd be a little uncomfortable.
You know what? I never thought about it, so I don't know. But probably, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? I don't know. I mean, who wants their wife to show off her breasts to everybody, you know? I don't know.
Hmm.
Stupid question gets a stupid answer, okay?
That's not a stupid question.
It isn't,
because you're an advocate and you enjoy it, and then when it comes to your own, you know, personal wife, you don't like it. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. I'm just saying it's an interesting point.
Yeah. You know, it's not like I'm telling her don't watch, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, if you just watch and stuff, I guess it's okay. Now, listen, I'm reading something here that's pretty concerning. They're talking about what they call deadly delivery and about the death rate of women that give birth or during pregnancy and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And they're saying that the U.S. is really, like, seeing an increase in death during childbirth. So this says, let me tell you what it says. The report notes that the likelihood of a woman dying in childbirth in the U.S. is 5 times greater than in Greece, 4 times greater than in Germany, and 3 times greater than in Spain.
Hmm.
Every day in the U.S., more than 2 women die of pregnancy-related causes, with a maternal mortality ratio doubling from 6.6 per 100,000 births to 13.3. So that, like, kind of doubled. You know?
That's interesting. I wonder what the causes are. I mean, obviously it's individual basis, but if you're seeing a trend where it's multiplying,
right?
You know, I wonder if they come up with any ideas or have they suggested anything that would, you know, support the fact that there's something going on.
Yeah. Well, they are saying that half of the pregnancy-related deaths in the U.S. are preventable, the result of systematic failures, including barriers to accessing care, inadequate, neglectful, or discriminatory care, and overuse of risky interventions, like inducing labor and delivering via cesarean section.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually seeing a lot of friends of friends of friends that are starting to do the more of the midwife and the water birth type thing. I'm seeing more women that are doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I'm not anywhere close to having a kid, but I started thinking, you know, I think I'd be, unless I had some kind of high-risk pregnancy, I would think I'd probably rather do like a midwife or something in a bathtub.
Really?
Well, I just don't think, I just see all these people that are starting to go that direction. It doesn't seem like it's necessary to, you know, have it necessarily in a hospital, unless there's some, you have some kind of special medical issue. But yeah. I mean, I'm seeing women that are doing it without meds. My friends.
Right. I mean, would you do it without an epidural? I mean, it's gotta
be awful. I have no
idea.
I mean, my first choice is give me a damn cocktail. Like,
right.
Punch it up. Let's do this. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know. It hasn't been a bridge that I've crossed. I think I would like to say, yeah, let me do it natural.
Right.
But, you know, I have no clue.
It's hard to know till you get there.
It's hard to know. I sat in my friend's, she had her baby and little baby Grace. And she was like, yeah, I want you to be there. And I thought she wanted me in the waiting room. Mm. No, she wanted me in the delivery room.
Really?
With her husband, and her mom.
Uh-huh.
And I held her thigh back the whole 4 hours.
Really?
Like, her thigh was pushing, her knee was pushing against my shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And we just had her smushed like a damn pretzel, trying to pop this kid out. And she had a 10-pound turkey.
Really?
And they were like, you know what? You probably want to go a cesarean. And she's like, no. And right when she's about to do a C-section, her water broke.
Mm.
And she's like, nope, it's a sign. I'm going to deliver my child, you know, completely vaginally. And she even had meds. Like, she had like a button she could push kind of that would give her a jolt of numbing.
Right.
But what they found, and I'm not medical, but what I just firsthand saw was they gave her Pitocin, which is a hormone to induce pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was on meds to numb the contractions, right?
Right.
But it almost works against you because now you have this induction of your contractions, but you can't feel your contractions.
Exactly.
So you're not really able to, the pain is there for a reason, for you to actually work with the pain
to
push the baby.
Right.
So they actually, the nurses said, if you want to deliver this child without a C-section, you need to stop using the meds. We have to get you to work with your contractions. So she stopped using her meds and started to push with the pain, and it was so ridiculously excruciating.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I saw the whole thing. She didn't even see it, but I mean, I saw the vagina. I saw what it happens to it.
Right.
Were you there for the birth of your kids?
Yes, I was.
You saw the whole 9 yards?
And it turns you off after a while.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. After
well,
the
it
fact,
looks like, it doesn't even look like a vagina anymore. It looks like a pouch, like a little kangaroo pouch.
Yeah.
And she was just...
It does not look sexy. That's one thing it doesn't.
No, I mean, it's not a time for sex either. It's a time to give life into the earth and the world, Sam. You're not going to try to do your wife.
But I definitely advise against fathers going...
Really?
I mean, no, be in the room is fine, but don't look.
Don't look, no.
Yeah, just stand next to your wife or...
She had a blowout.
Your significant other and...
She had a blowout. And once the kid was out of there, it did not look... Right. And I mean, I was very curious. So I was like looking at it the whole time. And anyway, she got stitched up and I was told the doctor to give it an extra yank in the stitches. Just tighten it up. Just, you know, just go ahead and just help her out here. But she says it's normal now.
Yeah.
And, you know, your body heals better when you don't have a C-section. It's quicker healing.
Yeah.
And her body's like normal. She's like, yeah. When they went back to having sex, like, you know, a couple months later, she's like, it hurt.
Yeah.
It was like normal.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, maybe we'll go that route.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does. It kind of scares you. You're like, oh, I don't know how they're going to come back from that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Have you ever thought how many kids you want?
Well, I thought I maybe wanted, I mean, come on, this is like idealistic, but I thought, oh, yeah, I want 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start looking at the life that I really want to have and pursuing the career I want to have. And I don't want to have nannies for all my kids and ship them off to stuff. I don't know what the point of having kids is, just to have other people raise them for you, you know?
Right.
So I'm not against having help, but I mean, raising my kids, I want to be there. So I was like, I don't really know how that would work. And, you know, I'm in my late 20s now, so it's kind of like realistically four kids, you know, how would that work? And so, I don't know. I mean, at this point, if I got married, I'm thinking around 2-3.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
anything more, I think it's too much, you know?
Well, I like the idea of a big family, but I don't see myself as just being a stay-at-home mom either. Right. So right. I have to be, and I think it's important to kind of evaluate what kind of life you want to live. You know, if I was just going to be a stay-at-home mom, I think I would want a big family.
Right, right.
You know, but I don't see myself just doing that. And even like these celebrities that like adopt, you know, 50 kids, they start their own village in Hollywood.
Right.
It's like, you know, they're not there every day with their kids. You know, they're not getting them up. They've got nannies, they've got a lot of help, and they just jump in for the fun stuff or once in a while.
Right.
And I don't really know how that's being a parent. I mean, yeah, the kids are well taken care of and it's better than them sitting maybe, I don't know, in a famine impoverished village. I have no idea, but I'm just saying, I want to be there to raise my children if I have children.
Right.
Right?
No, I mean, makes total sense.
You know,
makes total sense.
I used to work, when I moved out here, I worked for a lady that was a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't work. She lived in the hills.
Right.
And she had a full-time nanny. And then she had me on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, why do you have a full-time nanny? Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, like, you want help. Like, you want to leave. You don't. You need somebody to watch your kids. Great. Or you have something going on, and you maybe a few hours a day, you need some help around the house if you have three kids or whatever. But I really don't understand, you know, getting all that assistance when you're – what are you doing?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, well, when you can't afford someone like that every day or live in, then you're too busy making money, you know? So you don't have time for your kids.
No, she's a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. Oh, she's a stay-at-home mom.
Stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
She doesn't have a career.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I
don't get it, though.
I don't get it.
Did you guys have any nannies with your...
No.
Did your ex-wife stay at home?
No, only for a little bit, and then she started working again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, for the first few months, she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But... No, I hear what you're saying, you know. I mean, and that's what happens when you have so many kids and you're busy, you know. You just get somebody.
Well, when you're busy is a key word.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe she is busy, you know. How many kids did she have?
She has three kids.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not saying never get help, but like a live-in nanny. And
yeah, well, if they can't afford it, they do it, you know.
Well, I know why they do it. I'm just saying I don't know the point of having kids just to have other people raise them.
Yeah, well, many people have kids for the wrong reasons. And that's
true, huh?
Yeah.
That is really true. People try to save their marriage that way.
Yeah.
Not feeling it.
No, huh?
Not feeling it.
No.
Mm-mm.
What's going on with American Idol? Do you watch that ever?
No.
No, huh?
Not a big fan, actually.
No.
I mean, I see why people like it, and it's fun. Yeah. But I mean,
wouldn't you try out for it?
I actually did. I auditioned
did?
A long time ago.
Really?
It's more of a TV show than it's about music. And
right.
then music is like the secondary factor. And they're really, it's really, really difficult because they have, I went and there was like over 10,000 people there.
Wow.
And, you know, I heard a lot of people practicing. There's a lot of great singers out there,
right.
a lot of great singers, a lot of different kinds of singers. They don't have a lack of good singers. They just really want a lot of bad people first.
Right.
I would say they pick more bad people than they do good people. And so those spots that you're trying to vie for are really competitive. And I found out there's like a ratio of how many people can pass each round. So you could be great, but if they've already passed two people,
right.
you doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm a strong singer. I'm a good singer. But
right.
I don't know. I really didn't feel like it was the right fit for me. But I thought, well, why not go for it? Because
right.
you never know.
Yeah.
Till you try.
What the hell? Exactly.
So I can say, oh, okay, well, I've auditioned and I understand how it works, and
right.
I know that it wasn't something that I'm. Missing out on because it just didn't work for me that way. But
right,
you've seen some great careers come out of it too.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
You have, yeah. And you're right. I mean, there are a lot of people there that can sing well.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, I live in LA and I live in Hollywood and the talent is pretty outrageous. I mean,
right.
it is competitive for a reason because this is the Mecca and the capital of where people go that want to do this. So I hear people that have their own albums and everything and are great and they're still struggling.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go there, it's not so much about being being great.
Right.
It's like, what are they looking this year? There's a lot of politics. Like, do they want to?
Well, obviously, yeah. You know, I mean, they want someone who looks good as well, you know. And
they want a certain, like, genre sometimes that they're really going to push.
Right.
I think is how it works, too.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, like, sometimes they're going to go more R&B. They're going to go with more of a front man of being the guy, or is it going to be a girl? And I think they kind of premeditate where they're going because it's a TV show first.
Right.
You know, and and then I think there's some of it's reality, but I think it's geared towards we need to really push a country artist this year or whatever. Because they're trying to keep their viewers and demographic and keep it fresh, you know?
Right.
If, you know, I mean, black people are, you know, are notorious for having amazing voices. I mean, I went to a gospel church where I was like one of the only white people, like me and two other people, for 3 years. I mean, and every Sunday we would go and the singers are amazing, like amazing pipes. They can wail, and it's beautiful, it's amazing. But they're not going to have a black artist every season.
Right.
When they're just, it's going to isolate the demographics as far as,
right,
you know.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I mean, I was there, and there's just so many amazing artists, so many great singers. So
I just don't understand why. And I mean, I have to agree with you about the music not being the first priority there.
It's not.
Because otherwise, how do you explain them hiring Ellen DeGeneres? You know, I mean,
I still don't
what
get
the
it.
Hell does
have
she
you
know?
Have you watched it? Since is she
no.
on it yet? Or
I think she is, but. No, I haven't watched it. I mean, I never really watch it that much.
It doesn't make sense to me because Ellen's show is successful and then American Idol is successful.
Right.
Why did they need a new host? They're replacing Paula?
Yeah.
Okay.
They replaced Paula already.
With Ellen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like Ellen's already, like, she's already got an amazing show.
Right.
And American Idol has already kicked so much ass.
Right.
And it's an amazing show. I don't understand why they're having like these superpowers merging.
Yeah, well, it's not really a good fit, I don't think. You know?
I think, but I think people probably would tune in just to watch Ellen too because
right.
she is funny.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's probably, you know, really hysterical. I think people need to try this whole like, oh, I'm gonna try to like put Simon in his place is BS because Simon made the show first of all.
Yeah.
He created it. He's the producer. He is the reason that it's there.
Yeah.
And he's probably the most accurate of all of them.
Right. And he was making like $50 million a year or something for the show, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't peanuts there, let me tell you. So
no, he's...
Now he's starting his own show and...
Oh, is he?
Yeah, The X Factor.
What is it going to be?
It's going to be like American Idol, you know? But that's the original American Idol in Britain was The X Factor, I believe. And now he's going to be involved with that. You know, that's his... You know.
So he's just going back to the other show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's going to start a different show, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why they're talking about Howard Stern going in and stuff. But the funny thing is Ellen says, well, if they hired Howard, I'm leaving.
You know? Did she say that?
Yeah. And I mean, how can she say that? She just started there. I mean, who the hell does she think she is, you know?
Well, I mean, if Howard Stern becomes the head judge, the show is just... has lost all credibility. He's not a music guy.
Oh, you know
it's
what?
It's not because of his
you know
personality.
What? I've been listening to him, and he's right. He's more into music than Ellen ever was.
Well, if he were to have taken the... I'm saying Simon is probably the most legitimate and knowledgeable host and judge on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You take him away, and you start putting all these people that are pseudo into music or whatever. Or, oh, I right. like to listen to my rock bands. I got long hair. Mm-hmm. Screw you. You're not in the business. You don't know what you're doing. Shut up. You know? It's like, go away.
Boy, how do you feel about that? Boy?
Well, I'm just saying, it starts to lose its credibility. It's one thing if he's a host and a judge on the show. I can buy that. And maybe even more so than Ellen, because he is into radio.
Right.
And he's... You know, there's some ties he has to the music industry.
He's got a lot of ties, believe me. I mean,
extremely. But I'm saying he's
built
not.
Built some careers
but
for
he's,
people.
But he's not. That's not his thing. That's not his thing. You can
yeah,
put,
but it's not Ellen's thing either.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
So that's
but
what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you can't get rid of Simon and then not put somebody as strong as Simon. And I don't mean just personality, because I think Howard Stern definitely has a personality that would be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But the knowledge and the and the business and the musical palette. I think that that's really what...
But you don't know. You don't know Howard Stern, do you? I mean, have you ever listened?
Okay, let me ask you this. I don't have to know him, Sam. I have to go from an objective, casual observer.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are flipping on TV that are going to watch, they're going to be like, what the hell is Howard Stern doing here? Because he hasn't branded himself in that way. I'm not saying that he doesn't have insight or knowledge, because maybe he does. Maybe he has a lot of it.
Right.
And I don't think that he should be on the show in the sense of, you know, if he wanted to be on the show as like a side, you know, one of the side judges, that would probably be really funny. But I'm saying, is that the right replacement for Simon? And then you don't have somebody with, because Simon, you've got to give Simon credit. I mean, he was in the industry for a long time, and he has a lot of hands-on experience, and everything that came out of his mouth was very accurate.
Right, but I think his popularity did not come from his experience in the music industry. It came from being honest and putting people in their place, you know. And I think as far as that goes, I think Howard could do the same job. Now, I don't think that they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to hire him because he's too controversial, you know, and a lot of people don't like him. So, but
he'd
then at the same time,
he'd probably be
he's
hysterical.
Got a lot of fans, you know.
Well, he'd probably be hysterical. I mean, I would probably tune in to watch him, but I'm saying the credibility of the show, I think it starts to look like this watered down bunch of yahoos.
Well, the show doesn't have that much credibility anyway, you know. I mean,
it's huge, the amount of viewers, it's
yeah, I mean, people watch, but I don't think that it has credibility as you know, as a professional place to find people, you know.
Well, they make the artist, and they pump them out, and their career takes off.
Right. It's a reality show. It's not real. You know, a lot of it is scripted, you know?
Yeah, but I kind of think that there, with Simon on it, and you've seen some really successful number one chart, you know, Carrie Underwood number one, you know, Kelly Clarkson number one. You see some of these artists that are doing number one and having really great careers.
Right.
And you see, you know, and I think Simon had a lot to do with it. I think that it does show a credibility, not just a hokey show that's fun. And I think when you take away that kind of power behind it as far as, you know, the influence, I would probably go, oh, it's turning into just jumping the shark.
But what if they turned out more number one artists with Howard there? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
If they did, that's a big if. But, you know, at this point, if it's Ellen and Howard, I'd tune in to watch a good comedy show.
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's a comedy show, and I would laugh my ass off.
Yeah, probably.
It's just a different kind of show. I think everybody with Ellen at first was like, we love Ellen, but this makes no sense.
Right.
You know, and to me, it's just like, we love Ellen, but why?
Yeah.
And I love Ellen.
Yeah.
I think she's hysterical, and she's awesome. But it still doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Are you tuning in? Are you going to watch the show?
No.
Wasted all my anger on this, my hot-headedness. Something you're not even watching.
Well, you're passionate about it. That's good.
Passionate about everything, pretty much.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free, original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station. Talk station.
Above and beyond. trash rock. Let's get back. Let's get to Sam and Kara in the morning. Kara in the morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Did you hear that they canceled the prom because there was a couple of lesbians that were insisting on going?
What?
And they canceled the whole prom.
Which, where is this?
I don't know where it was. I read the article yesterday and I can't find it now. But, I mean, it was one of the headlines, you know?
Yeah, dumbasses.
Yeah.
This stuff makes me mad.
Why?
I don't like it when... Is it somewhere in the South or something?
I don't know. I wish I knew, man.
Because I'm from the South. I'm from the Bible Belt, and there's just such a bad rap, and I just get tired of hearing about, you know, the dumb Christians or this, that, and the other that are just, you know, out to take out the gay people or whatever. Stuff pisses me off.
So you grew up in the Bible Belt, but you're not for... Yeah. You know, the thing is this, is that, you know, even if they had a problem with the girls, why would they cancel the whole prom? I mean,
I don't get it.
What's the thinking behind this?
I have pretty specific views on homosexuality, and they're my views, and they're my beliefs.
Right.
However, at the end of the day, people are people are people.
Right.
And it's not my place to govern somebody else's romantic or sexual identity.
Right.
And I think that is extremely, it's self-righteous, it's judgmental. And I don't like alienating people or excluding them like that. Even if you don't agree, it doesn't freaking matter. People are people, you know? And I think they can't get away with it. I'm sure there's like tons of...
Oh, yeah. I mean,
lawsuits.
A lot of people were pissed off and stuff, you know? But I think what they figured is, I think the thinking behind this is they probably figured, look, if we don't allow them to come in, then it's like singling them out, right? So we're going to cancel the whole fucking prom.
Well, do they know then? Do they know for a fact that they're canceling because a same-sex couple wants to join?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Apparently. And I'm so irritated that I can't find the article anymore, but I remembered it from yesterday, and I had to bring it up because it's like it's getting ridiculous, you know, the shit that people pull. And what kind of an education is that, you know?
Mm.
I mean, what kind of fucking education is that?
Mm.
You know, to not be tolerant, to not accept people the way they are. I don't know.
I don't agree with it. It's just, I think it's as equivalent as, you know, they did a documentary, and I do not remember the name of it, but basically where they had... This one school. Oh yes, it was I think it was Samuel L. Jackson, or it might have been Morgan Freeman. He basically went into this community and said, "Hey, I'll pay for everybody's prom if you have the same prom," because it was a community where they had the white prom and they had the black prom.
Oh, really?
Same school.
Wow.
And they did it like that every year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Well, I'll pay for it if you have like a, you know, an integrated prom." And it was interesting because a lot of different prejudice came up, and then just ignorance came up, and then sometimes it was just preference.
Right.
So it's really interesting how I kind of see a correlation between, you know, not letting people be individuals because it doesn't fit in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's your opinion on homosexuality? You're not really... Are you tolerant of it?
Oh, absolutely. I don't believe in it from a biblical standpoint, and that's a long discussion and an in-house debate.
Right.
However, I do believe in civil rights,
mm-hmm.
and I think what happens is you can have tolerance and acceptance without having approval, and those are different.
Right.
I don't have to approve of a lifestyle. I don't have to... condone or, you know, say, hey, I think this is biological or, you know, whatever. I can have my views without it being something where I discriminate or alienate people.
Right.
And I think that there's a fine line because I have a lot of friends, I mean, I live in Hollywood that are homosexual. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think people are people.
Right.
And, you know, my views are, I feel like, even though I don't believe that that is God's design, I will say that God made them and God loves them.
Right.
And so I'm called to love them. And I'm no better and I'm no worse. We're all humans. Mm-hmm. And so coexisting and having tolerance is important. And so I do believe in that. And I don't believe that there's any kind of, you know, reason to not accept people.
Right.
Just because you don't agree.
Right.
Now, but there is a backlash in the LA area, and it's very like an intimidation factor where if you do not believe in the lifestyle and in the sexual orientation, it's easier for people to villainize you and make you out to be some kind of homophobic bigot when that's right. not the case. And I've seen that recently. I was working at a school, and there was actually a poster on the wall on the administrative building that was called Heterosexism, and it was educating people. They're having a seminar for parents and teachers and for students to attend that was educating people on heterosexism is the belief that homosexuality is superior to heterosexuality is superior to homosexuality, and that from this belief is what we get hate crimes, homophobia, discrimination, and they wanted to educate people on it. Now, I actually found it to be an offensive, you know, poster. And mm-hmm. I sat there and stared at it, and I would go, is this really happening? Because you can't, regardless of what you believe, if you're for it or against it, you think it's environmental, you think it's biological, whatever you believe, put that aside for one second. I do not think it's anybody's place to tell people what to believe, mm-hmm. and to try to get people to, you know, this is what you have to believe, and if you don't believe it, then you're labeled this. Mm-hmm. You're a bigot. You're a homophobe, and that's not necessarily the case. You can have differing beliefs and still have respect for one another. And it's easy. I find that in this, all sides do this, whatever political or religious or cultural side you're on. A lot of times it's people use fear tactics. They use labels and they try to intimidate people into believing a certain way because they'll say, well, if you don't believe this way, well, then you're automatically this.
Right.
And I reject that.
Right.
I think that's very
offensive.
There is
a lot of labeling, I think. You
yeah.
know?
And I understand tolerance. If it's about liberty and tolerance, then I'm for it. You know,
right.
we're all different, and it's not my job to tell you how to be or who to be and to tell you who you can be with. And I don't want to do that with anybody, but to tell me what to believe and what I'm supposed to believe, that is way crossing a line as well.
Right.
And I find that in this society, there's such a hypocrisy where people are not extending the same tolerance that they're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about tolerance anymore. It's about approval. And those are two different things.
Right.
And I do find that to be offensive. On the other hand, mm-hmm. I do believe in civil rights, and I do believe people should be treated with respect.
Yeah.
And I also know that a lot of the gay community has been hugely discriminated against, and there's a lot of wounds and a lot of hurt there. And I do understand, you know, I do understand some of the sensitivity that's going on.
Right.
You know.
And what about the gay marriage thing? How do you view that?
Well, it's really difficult for me. It's not something that I have a real, you know, cut and dry answer for, to be honest.
Right.
Because on one level, I mean, I think what happened, like if you want to talk about Prop 8, I think that people are, it's a very emotional subject, and mm-hmm. it's very personal for people. And I think that, you know, people going back to the government should not be telling people who can get married.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. However, it's really not about same-sex couples getting together and having the same financial rights and the same tax brackets and the same legal rights and being in each other's will and being able to go to the doctor to see their partner. Like, I think they should be able to be with who they want to be with, and they should have the same, you know, financial and beneficial rights as a heterosexual couple.
Right.
I just think it's the term marriage that people are hung up on, to be mm-hmm. honest, because marriage, if you go to the root of it, is a theological-based word.
Mm-hmm.
It's based in a God-centered word. It's a union between God and man and woman. So you're asking people throughout the country and in the state to redefine what marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying, wait a minute, I love you, go do whatever you want, but I'm not going to redefine what I think marriage is to fit your lifestyle.
Right.
And I think that that's really where a lot of people are hung up on. It's not because everybody hates gay people and they don't want them to be together. I think what happens is it's the term. And I think that that's where, if it isn't about approval and it's just about tolerance and rights and liberty, why not just have a union and call it civil, you know, civil unions or something like
right.
that.
Okay.
And
so why are you hung up so much on the word? Why don't you just think of the concept itself?
Well, that's a good question, but I'm just thinking that a lot of people, it's more the fact that you're asking people to really redefine what they believe. You're really delving into people's beliefs now. Mm-hmm. And just like somebody believes this, somebody else believes that, and you're asking people to redefine it to fit somebody else's lifestyle. And adversely, and this is not could happen and has happened in the state of Massachusetts, when it was legalized, less than 1% of the gay population did get married.
Mm.
And in addition to that, what happens is when you start putting it as this is what we call, you know, marriage, and you have churches that don't want to practice the ceremonies and things like that. There's actually been a reverse discrimination of faith-based organizations that, because it violates what they believe, but now is considered legal by the state, now the faith-based organizations are now being discriminated against and losing their nonprofit sector status. There's a lot of things going on in that department. So, you know, it's not just this emotional aggression, we hate you, we don't want you to be with this person, and da 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 da. There's just it's learning how to cohabitate and how let people have their beliefs, and I think that's where the friction is.
Right.
And you know, it isn't an easy thing to talk about, and it's not an easy thing to, you know, I tread lightly with people because I'm talking about the subject matter, and then yet for a lot of people this is their life and
right.
it's personal.
Right.
And I mean, so that's kind of where I stand, mm-hmm. you know, on it. And it's divided. It's not an easy,
yeah.
you know, it's not an easy thing.
Yeah, no, it's not, you know, so because it is, you know, something of whether in your private life you condone this, you know, and your mm-hmm. beliefs and everything. And then at the same time, you have to remember that you do believe in equal rights for mm-hmm. people and stuff, you know, and people do deserve to be treated equally and that. So, but if they want to call it marriage, then, you know, I mean, I don't think we should get hung up on the word. I think it's the concept itself. It's the idea. And
But you're really, it's really indirectly. I mean, if people have the same rights, what is the matter if people want to maintain the traditional version of where the root of marriage comes from? I mean,
right.
you're asking people to redefine their beliefs, and that
right.
goes a lot deeper. That's why this was voted on twice and it failed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and this is in California, an
right.
extremely liberal state.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just because, and I don't agree with this, but I don't think it's just everybody's villainizing and everybody hates and everybody's ignorant. I think it's really because you're delving into culturally people's beliefs, and
right.
you're asking them to redefine it. When if it's just about rights and liberty,
right.
why not have the same union, have a union called civil unions, and it's, you know, different as far as the term goes, and you're not, it's not this asking everybody to change what they believe to fit your lifestyle as well.
Right, but what difference does it make to you? I mean, the thing is that whether they call it marriage or anything else, you know, I mean, the idea is if you feel that they should be allowed to have a civil union, then you actually support the, you know, the fact that they...
I just think marriage, you know, there's a spiritual element to marriage. There's many different elements to marriage that I do not see the same in a homosexual union. I don't. And so for me to have to redefine it is almost like violating what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm not trying to take away their financial rights, their ability to live together, their ability to adopt children, their ability to, you know, operate as a unit and have the same everything.
Right.
So, and it's just something that I think is not being discussed in that light. But when I know a lot of people that are like, and there's an intimidation and a bullying thing
going
on.
There is an intimidation going on.
People are
sure.
afraid to say what they really believe about
yeah.
it. And I know people that go, can I really vote yes on Prop 8 and just never tell any of my gay friends?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. But it's just there's such a fear that people are, you know, afraid to say what they believe in this town because, again, they're painted as...
It's politically correct. It's not politically correct.
Not in this climate.
That.
No.
Yeah.
No, not
yeah.
at all. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, people need to see you can have respect and love and tolerance for somebody and not be fully on board with what they believe or,
right.
or anything.
Right.
I mean, but I don't really place myself in any better light. I mean,
right.
my lifestyle doesn't always line up with what I believe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's things that I do that don't always line up with what I believe. And I don't go back and redefine my beliefs to fit my lifestyle. I try to put my lifestyle back into what I believe.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to redefine it for somebody else as well. It's what I believe is
right.
True.
That's what I say. You know, it's like live and let live. You know, it's like not, don't be too preoccupied with what other people do. You know,
I'm not.
And that's, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's not that clear cut, but I think they've made, you know, gays have made quite a bit of progress, but it's not there yet. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. people have to get used to it. Look, I mean, I don't necessarily find the attraction in that kind of a relationship, mm-hmm. but I can understand that people are either born or brought up or mm-hmm. you know, whatever the reason
yeah.
is, but that's what they are. I mean, you know, you
they're
see
people.
You see kids that start to become, you know, become teenagers, and they realize that they're gay, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think anybody would choose to be gay, you know, given how difficult it is.
Well,
in society,
it's
you know?
A really long conversation, but there's a lot of different questions that are out there about what are people searching for? Is it really just an involuntary physical desire for the other person, or is there something else involved in it? And I'm not an expert, and I don't go around having these conversations frequently, especially in LA, because mm-hmm. most people aren't open to hearing it because they just think you're out to take away who they are, and
right,
it's not.
Right.
But if I'm going to be completely honest about my internal questions in my mind and mm-hmm. and the friends that I've had, you know, I've noticed that a lot of things in people's lives go back to sometimes masculine love and masculine identity,
right.
and then when they hit puberty, that desire becomes sexualized. So
right.
now it is an involuntary desire. It mm-hmm. is I look at a man and I get turned on, but is it necessarily because that's the way you're born, or is it because there's something inside of you that is looking for a certain kind of identity and a certain kind of love?
Yeah.
And again, these are questions. I'm not even saying that's the truth. I'm
yeah.
just saying these are questions.
I think that both these are true. You know, it's just there's no one reason and there's no one
and
motive.
And it's like what? Yeah, exactly. And I'm not out to change anybody. I'm not out to, you know, convince
right.
people they're not gay or anything like that. I mean, when I was younger and I was right out of Texas, I had a much more like view on homosexuality, and it wasn't like I was angry or mad, but I was just like very black and white, and I've really grown a lot since then, and you know, I still believe what I believe the traditional view of marriage is and what I believe what the Bible says. At the same time, I also believe the whole Bible, and I believe that they're God made them and God loves them, and they are here breathing and living just like everybody else, and
right.
we're no better or worse than anyone.
Right.
And so I think that that's the bigger message is love, because I think that this the gay community has been so not loved
mm-hmm.
and they've been so rejected that the bigger picture needs to be, I think, about love.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And on that note, and focusing on love,
mm-hmm.
we're going to wrap up the show.
Okay.
It is Friday. Tomorrow's the weekend. Enjoy yourself.
I am.
And, yeah, you probably have some stories to tell from that thing you're going to.
Tomorrow, so. I'll keep you all posted.
Yeah. Let us know.
Thanks so
Please.
Much, Sam.
And we do finally have an outro, so...
Oh, yay!
We'll go away with the outro. Everybody, thank you for listening. We'll be back here on Monday.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.